Are you happy that Brett Favre will be inducted into the Green Bay Packers Hall of Fame tomorrow? Is all forgiven as far as you're concerned? Does he rightfully belong among the other Green Bay Packer legends? I'm Joy Cardine. This is the Ideas Network of Wisconsin Public Radio. It is 8.5 minutes past 7 o'clock on this Friday, July 17th. Former Green Bay Packer quarterback Brett Favre will be inducted into the Green Bay Packers Hall of Fame tomorrow. And we will talk with a longtime sports reporter about his career and his legacy. And welcome your reactions and your thoughts on this day before. We did, by the way, invite Brett Favre to join us to talk with you during this hour, but he was unavailable. 1-800-642-1234, 1-800-642-1234, or send an email to talk@wpr.org. You can also post on the Joy Cardine Show Facebook page or tweet us at Joy Cardine Show. Our guest is Jesse Garcia, sports reporter, anchor for WTMJ Television in Milwaukee, the author of 3 books, including My Life with the Green and Gold, Tales from 20 Years of Sportscasting. Good morning, Jesse.
Good morning, Joy. How are you?
I'm good. Thanks for joining us. So, what does this mean exactly, that Brett Favre will be inducted into the Green Bay Packers Hall of Fame?
Yeah, well, it is a pretty big deal. When you think about who is in the Green Bay Packers Hall of Fame, it is quite a list of people. And, of course, there really was not a doubt that at some point he would be inducted into the Packers Hall of Fame. It was just a question of when, and a lot of people felt that tempers had to cool down, water had to go under the bridge, and, I'd be curious to see what your listeners think as to whether or not we are at that point right now, if they've chosen the proper point to do this. But, you know, they're also going to be retiring his number, which he becomes only the 6th Packer to have his number retired, and the first since Reggie White back in 2005. So, you know, that's an even smaller, rarer group.
Yeah, and that means you were so good nobody else can wear your number?
Correct, yeah. So that number 4, that famous number 4, will go up eventually inside the bowl in they'll be on the Ring of Honor. That won't happen until Thanksgiving. So not everything takes place today, or tomorrow, I should say. But the inside of the atrium, they have these banners hanging with the retired numbers, and they will unfurl that banner inside the atrium tomorrow and then have these further ceremonies happening when the Packers play the Bears on Thanksgiving.
Oh, all right. So being inducted into the Green Bay Packers Hall of Fame means that his name is going to be inside Lambeau Field, where we see all the other greats.
Well, not everybody who's in the Packers Hall of Fame has their name inside of there. There's no way that they'd be able to fit them all in. So there's sort of 2 separate things. There's the number retirement, the jersey retirement, and then there's the going into the Packer Hall of Fame. Brett Favre is getting both of those honors, which is not everybody gets.
Yes.
So he's special because of everything that he's done. And then next year, we expect that he would likely go into the NFL Hall of Fame. So this is, to make it clear to people, this is also not the NFL Hall of Fame. This is the Green Bay Packers Hall of Fame. In the NFL Hall of Fame, he is almost a sure bet to be a first ballot Hall of Famer. You have to be retired 5 years before you can be considered, and that will be next year will be his first year of eligibility. But it'll be pretty surprising if he doesn't go in next year. But he won't find out until around the time of the Super Bowl whether or not he's in the NFL Hall of Fame.
Yeah. Well, can you, Jesse? We'll talk all hour long, but tell us why this is. I mean, as you mentioned, there was not a doubt that at some point he would be inducted into the Green Bay Packers Hall of Fame, but whether it was now was the question. Talk a little bit about that. Why wouldn't this be the best time to do this?
Well, yeah, the other thing is that a lot of people felt that he couldn't really go into the NFL Hall of Fame without first being in the Packers Hall of Fame. That would be a little bit odd. So they felt that this year would be right for him to go into the Packers Hall of Fame, considering that next year is his first year of eligibility for the NFL Hall of Fame, and he's such a sure lock to likely get in. So that's one of the reasons. And I think just that time has passed. It feels like both sides have finally been able to, just say, okay, it was messy, it was ugly, but, we're ready to come back together and celebrate his career, and everything that he did for the Packers, which is a considerable, almost a stunning career when you look at the numbers and some of the things that he accomplished.
Yeah, and we'll talk about some of that. Is it your thought that Green Bay fans, for the most part, have forgiven him for going to Minnesota, for example?
I think so, myself. I think you're going to get the majority of cheers. I don't doubt that there will be some people still booing, or maybe with brought in a sign or something like that into the stadium tomorrow night. But of 67,000 people, I would guess that most are there to cheer him. And from talking to people, the sense that I get is that most people, again, not everybody, I guess I'd have to say maybe 85%, have forgiven him, moved on, ready to embrace him. And there's still maybe a 10 to 15% that, very unscientific poll, that that are out there still saying, no, I'm never going to forgive him.
Well, let's ask our listeners. Have you forgiven Brett Favre? Are you going to cheer or jeer his induction into the Green Bay Packers Hall of Fame? How important do you think Brett Favre was to the Green Bay Packers franchise? We'll talk with Jesse Garcia a little bit more about that as well. One commentator thinks Brett Favre saved the Green Bay Packers. What do you think? 1-800-642-1234 or send an email to talk@wpr.org. You can also post on the Joy Cardine Show Facebook page or tweet us at Joy Cardine Show. Jesse Garcia is the author of My Life with the Green and Gold, Tales from 20 Years of Sportscasting, and many of those years spent watching and covering Brett Favre as quarterback of the Green Bay Packers. James in Mosinee is with us first. Hi, James.
Hi. Good morning, Joy.
Morning. Have you forgiven Brett Favre?
Yes. I am humbly appealing to all Packer fans. Everybody in this world somehow makes a mistake. I see it as a mistake. He loves the Packers. He played with his heart. I was at Lambeau Field to see most of his game. He did very well. Saved us when we were losing. Made a lot of touchdowns. So I am humbly appealing to every Packer fan. Let's show we are Green Bay Packer fans. And let's forgive him. Let's honor him. Another thing is, he's going to serve as an example for our children not to do that. Not to do that. So my appeal is, let's forgive him, put him in the Hall of Fame, honor him, and let's go on with football and enjoy it. It's a game.
Yeah. Thank you very much, James. Well, I wasn't sure if we were going to go there, but I guess I will. James is also saying he made a mistake, and we should forgive him. He wasn't so much talking about defecting to the Vikings, but I think he was talking about the sexting scandal. Was that even a consideration that would somehow bump him out of being in the Green Bay Packer Hall of Fame, Jesse?
No, I don't think that was ever a consideration, because although there were a lot of rumors and a lot of investigations, he never got fully penalized for anything that he had done there. So I think... yes, clearly, I think Favre, if he would admit to that, would say that it was a mistake. He's never come right out and said, okay, yes, I did it, it was a mistake, et cetera. And that particular issue seems to have kind of taken second place to the Vikings issue with most Packers fans, at least from what I've seen. But I do think that, it was interesting what the caller was saying about lessons for our children as well. I mean, it is an opportunity to talk about how things can happen, relationships can get very messy, and, eventually you can come to terms with where you're at and try to patch things up. Yeah. So, interesting point.
Yeah, thank you very much, James. And James is right, though. Brett Favre played with his heart. He was something to watch, wasn't he, Jesse?
Oh my goodness, yes. Anybody who saw Brett Favre in his prime, is just lucky to have seen him. Is the kind of once in a lifetime athlete that you'll tell your grandchildren about. As if you've seen some of these other greats, as if you had seen Babe Ruth. You would be telling generations to come. And speaking of Babe Ruth, I wanted to say there was a quote in the Journal Sentinel this morning in Tom Silverstein's article about Brett Favre that I just thought was so powerful. This is from former general manager Ron Wolf. And he said, you know, they called Old Yankee Stadium the house that Ruth built. This, being Lambeau Field, is the house that Favre built. Mm-hmm. I mean, they give him so much credit for the resurrection of the franchise. You know, you have to remember just how dead they were in the 70s and 80s. And they were trying to get the stadium renovated and all this stuff. And if not for Favre and the success, you know, not just Favre, but Holmgren and Reggie White and the success of the teams in the 90s, would any of that have happened?
Let me jump in because we have news from NPR and Wisconsin Public Radio, and then we'll talk about how Brett Favre helped resurrect the Green Bay Packers. And we'll welcome more of your thoughts and questions about his induction into the Green Bay Packer Hall of Fame. You're listening to the Ideas Network of Wisconsin Public Radio. I'm Joy Cardine. We are previewing the induction tomorrow of former Green Bay Packers quarterback Brett Favre into the Green Bay Packers Hall of Fame. And we wonder what you think about this. Are you happy that this is happening now? Are you a Brett Favre fan? Have you forgiven him for moving over to the Jets and then the Vikings? 1-800-642-1234 or send an email to talk@wpr.org. You can also post on the Joy Cardine Show Facebook page or tweet us at Joy Cardine Show. Our guest is Jesse Garcia, longtime sports reporter, anchor for WTMJ Television in Milwaukee, author of My Life with the Green and Gold, Tales from 20 Years of Sportscasting. Lots of callers, so let's go to Marianne and Conrad next. Hi, Marianne.
Good morning. Thank you. I very much enjoyed watching Brett Favre play, and I was sad to see him let go from the Packers, but when he went to the Vikings, I watched him at the Vikings, and I hold no, it doesn't bother me that happened. He was fun to watch.
Yeah. Did you blame the Packers for him leaving, Marianne?
Yeah, I kind of did. I did. He still wanted to play, and I thought he was a great player even when they let him go.
Yeah, and Jesse, there was that camp too, wasn't there?
Well, sure. Some people think that, obviously the Packers did trade him to the New York Jets, but there's a whole, I can see both sides there. I mean, there's a whole faction of people, though, that says, well, but he retired and unretired, and what were they going to do? Their hands were tied. So, you know, it can go both ways when it comes to that. And I don't even know if it was necessarily being traded to the Jets. It was seeing him in purple that just got so many people's goat for so long.
Yeah, and what he said he was going to retire, but walk us through that. Then Green Bay said, okay, Aaron Rodgers is our man now, and then Brett said, oh, wait, I changed my mind?
Right, and then Brett, he came back and said, let us compete against each other. He came back at training camp, and the Packers said, that ship has sailed. We're already into camp. We've already got Brett Favre as our Aaron Rodgers as our entrenched starting quarterback, and we're moving on. We're sorry. They had for months at that point been planning on Aaron Rodgers being their quarterback, and so, you know, it was awkward. It was difficult. It was really kind of a mess. And what do you do at that point? You have this legend who wants to play. You have, they knew that Aaron Rodgers had incredible talent as well. And nobody can doubt everything that Aaron Rodgers has done since and continues to do and will do in the future. Packer fans are so lucky when it comes to quarterbacks. It's stunning, really.
I was thinking the same thing, Jesse. I saw a photo of Aaron Rodgers and Brett Favre at those ESPY Awards this week. And I thought, how blessed are we to have those two guys back-to-back? And they really are. They're just outstanding.
Yeah, and people, I think, it's natural, but you start to take it a little bit for granted that you're going to have this excellent quarterback play. You look at the Chicago Bears as an example. They have had something like 28 quarterbacks somewhere in that neighborhood in the amount of time that we've had two.
Yeah.
It's at some point, and it's going to go through an ebb and flow where we're, after Aaron Rodgers' career is over, hopefully we'll get another great quarterback. But if not, then Packers fans will get a little taste of that, of what it's like to have, the young quarterback and switching quarterbacks and all that kind of stuff.
We did pull some audio when Brett changed his mind about whether or not he would retire, and and the hard feelings that resulted from that. Let's take a listen to his retirement announcement.
I know there's been comments and issues in the press lately about why I'm leaving, whether or not the Packers did enough, whether or not Ted and Mike tried to convince me to stay. None of those things have any thing to do with me retiring. And that's from the heart. I've given everything I possibly can give to this organization, to the game of football, and I don't think I got anything left to give, and that's it. I know I can play, but I don't think I want to. And that's really what it comes down to.
Yeah, very emotional, and he thought he was, he thought he didn't have any more to give at that time.
Yeah, and I think he genuinely thought at that particular moment that he didn't. Then he stepped away for some months and, you know, started to have second thoughts. And, you know, it's hard. I've long said, imagine being in your mid-30s or even younger for some of these NFL players and being told, that's it, you know, your career's done, move on to something else. It would be incredibly hard for any of us. That's often the time when we're just getting going in our career, really.
Let's take another call from Jason in Watertown. Hi, Jason.
Hi, Joy. How are you?
Good. What do you think about all this?
Well, for the sake of disclosure here, I'm a 49er fan.
You're allowed to call in anyway.
Yep. With that said, I completely agree. This is the best time for Brett to get into the Hall of Fame. But I also think I would have liked to have seen the Packers have brought him back and let him retire as a Packer, like they did with Joe Montana when he came back, and because he went to the Chiefs and all and came back to the Niners, and let him retire as a Niner. So I think that would have been a really good show right there.
Yeah, I think a lot of us thought about that. Jesse, can you talk about why that didn't happen?
Well, you know, to my knowledge, there was never a moment where the Packers said, no, you're not coming back. I just think that there were so many feelings there on both sides that they needed to just kind of stay away from each other for a little while and let things cool off. And you know, there was some concern, I think, on both sides. There have been a lot of reports about who was more concerned, and I don't know if we really know the truth about this, but there was some concern years ago that if he came back, that he might be booed, and that it would be really an awkward situation if there were more boos than cheers, for instance. And they wanted to avoid that. They wanted to make sure that when he came back, it was a moment where he could, you know, truly be cheered for everything that he did do for the Packers.
Yeah. Let's go next to Lee in Marquesan. Hi, Lee.
Hello there. Hi, Jay. Joy?
Yes, hi, Lee. So what do you think?
Well, I was very disappointed when Favre left and went to the Vikings. And so then I thought about it, and I used to watch the Vikings games just to see if at halftime Brett would come on and announce his immediate retirement and then come back and play the third and fourth quarters.
Well, so I guess that shows, maybe I shouldn't, I don't, that nickname for the Vikings is offensive to some, so I'm not going to repeat it. But a lot of people in Wisconsin, that the Vikings are the rival, almost as much, if not more, than the Bears, Jesse.
Sure. You know, if you had told me that Brett Favre was going to wind up wearing purple, I never would have believed it ever. You know, you couldn't write that. So it was just fiction, but it happened. And, you know, there are worse things in the world than that, certainly. But it makes for some really interesting talk. And, you know, I will admit that at the time, you know, I was kind of mad at Favre myself, you know, how could he do this, et cetera, et cetera. And then as the years have gone by, you know, I am at the point right now where I say, I understand how some people are still upset, but I'm more in the camp of, you know, everything he did to, A, resurrect the franchise, you know, B, put his body on the line. I mean, 321 consecutive games he played in the NFL. If you think about that number, it's just simply staggering. That record will likely never be matched. And that's the thing that Favre himself has said that he's the most proud of as well, is that durability. And, you know, so I think he really, really deserves to be celebrated tomorrow night.
Yeah, there was a report this week. I can't remember where I saw it, but it was somebody reporting that Brett Favre was, maybe it was like an agent, asking if there's any way he could play for not only the Vikings, but the Bears, that he supposedly was thinking that he could go to the Bears. Did you read that, or would that shock you that he was looking into that, Jesse?
I saw something briefly about that. You know, I don't know how much truth to, you know, assign to it, but, you know, I mean, nothing would shock me. I mean, it is a business, and they're looking for where they can, you know, make some money and be wanted. You always want to be wanted somewhere. Mm-hmm. So, you know, nothing would surprise me about any of that, really.
Yeah, we have an email from Randy. I was attending a lot of games back then. Brett came in the shadow of Makowski, Magic, and others. I have one jersey, number 4. I will always wear it with great pride. My children saw him run the ball into the end zone with a few seconds left to win on the frozen Milwaukee turf. We are Wisconsin. A grudge is not possible. Randy has forgiven Brett. Probably was never even all that mad at him. Actually, that surprised me. If he won on the frozen Milwaukee turf, were we still playing in Milwaukee when Brett started?
Mm-hmm. Yeah, they played some games at County Stadium. And so that's what he's referring to. I think I know the exact game he's referring to because I've heard Mike Holmgren say that, you know, he told Brett there are two things you can't do in this play. You can't get sacked and you can't run the ball. And Brett ran the ball. And Holmgren on the sidelines shouted, no, no. And then, yes, yes.
And oh, that's funny.
Just crossed the goal line to score. So, he played some games in Milwaukee, certainly.
And talk a little bit about his start. How did he? I know that we got him from the Falcons, but I mean, when did he first play for the Packers?
Yeah, so we got him from the Falcons, and then he came in to replace an injured Don Majkowski, and it was a home game when he came in. And what happened? This is actually kind of a funny thing. His very first pass, this is a good trivia for everybody. Very first pass in the NFL was to himself. He threw the ball, and it went off a Tampa Bay defender's arm, I think, and bounced right back into Brett Favre's own arms.
Funny?
So, yeah, first pass in the NFL to himself. But it really wasn't until a game against the Bengals then that he sort of solidified himself into Packer lore. He started off with a touchdown pass to Sterling Sharp. That was his first touchdown pass in the NFL. And then not long after that, threw the game winner to Kittrick Taylor is his name, a little bit lost to history, although it is funny. Some years ago, I was listening to a Milwaukee radio show, and they were asking who the most significant person in Packers history was, and somebody called in and said Kittrick Taylor. Some people still do remember that name because that was Favre's first game winner. And from that point forward, you know, they never sat him down again. And Majkowski was not able to get his job back after losing it to injury because Brett was just so good they couldn't possibly take him out.
Yeah, and he was, as you mentioned, I mean, he played in ways that maybe we hadn't seen quarterbacks play before. I mean, he had fun, he ran, he tackled people, he did all sorts of stuff.
Yeah, I mean, he was one of those, you know, there's so many wow moments, and one of those guys where you just held your breath, almost like Holmgren, where you said, no, no, what are you doing?
Yes, yes.
Yeah, and then he would, you know, flip the ball underhanded to somebody or do whatever, you know, whatever it was that he was going to do. But, you know, I've heard Brett say, too, if I had just played safely, I would have been mediocre. I wasn't good enough to play safely. But I knew I could make those throws, and I wanted to make those throws.
Yeah,
and that's why he was what he was.
And he had, I mean, he has so many awards, you can't even mention them, but he's MVPs, and NFL record of 297 consecutive regular season starts, only player to win the AP Most Valuable Player 3 consecutive times, led teams to 8 division championships, 5 NFC championships, 2 Super Bowl appearances, including 1 win. What am I missing?
Let's see. Most passing yards, most completions, most pass attempts, most wins, 45 game winning drives, 30 fourth quarter comebacks, and also most interceptions. You know, there is that as well.
Yeah, that's right, because he did have that. So is he not only one of the greatest Green Bay Packer quarterbacks of all time, but the greatest quarterbacks in the NFL of all time?
Absolutely. I've heard Ron Wolf say that he is the best player he's ever seen, you know, in all of his years of watching the NFL and NFL history. So, yeah, there's no question that he is one of the best players in the history of the NFL and, you know, and should be remembered that way.
Yeah. Well, on December 23rd, 2003, the Packers were on the road against the Oakland Raiders on Monday Night Football. It was one day after Favre's dad passed away. Despite that, Favre threw for 311 yards and four touchdowns in the first half en route to a 41-7 blowout. Let's listen to some audio from that game.
Driver split to the right side, tight slot on the left side with two tight ends. Walls and Martin, single back offense. Favre takes, looks to throw. Guns the left side of the end zone, and it's
wow!
Diving grab, caught in the corner of the end zone. Touchdown, Green Bay! Oh, what a play!
That was a great catch, but I tell you what, that ball could be thrown in one spot in the entire football field, and that's just where it was.
So what are your memories of that game, Jesse?
Well, I was back in Milwaukee working that night. We had somebody else out in Oakland covering the game, but you know, certainly I remember that well because everybody thought maybe Brett would have an okay game. First of all, we weren't even sure he would play. You know, maybe he would not play, and certainly everybody would understand that. And then, you know, maybe he'd have an okay game, or maybe he'd have a bad game, and people would certainly understand why. But to go out and do what he did, sort of as a tribute to his father, you know, was just one of those moments that is forever part of his legend as well.
Let's take another call from Jeffrey in Green Bay. Hi, Jeffrey.
Yes, good morning, Joy, Jesse.
Morning.
Good morning.
My question is regarding the Ring of Honor in Lambeau Field and whether Favre's name will be placed on that this weekend or even later during the Chicago game. It's my understanding that the Ring of Honor is reserved for football players that are in the Pro Football Hall of Fame only, and that his number will be placed in the retired number area in Lambeau Field, and I was just wanting to get some question around that answered. And I did. You know, I live in Green Bay, obviously, and have so almost my entire life, and had the chance and have season tickets and seen Favre play, and I certainly agree he's really resurrected the franchise and he's due everything he gets. But I was just wondering about that question, if you could answer that.
Yeah, I might have misunderstood. What is the case here, Jesse?
Yeah, I believe that you're right, that the actual Ring of Honor that goes around in a, you know, ring circular shape would be for players who are in the NFL Hall of Fame, which I don't think it'll be long for Favre to join. And that, his name and number then would be in the retired players section. So I believe you're correct on that. But, you know, we can try to make sure that everybody has clarification on that as well. I did want to mention, by the way, that if people want to watch the induction ceremony and, you know, and learn everything that you possibly can about what's happening now and what's happening Thanksgiving, et cetera, it is on the Packers Television Network statewide tomorrow night from 8 to 10 p.m., so you can check your local listings, and you should be able to watch it on a local station live. And then if you're in Milwaukee and Green Bay, there is a locally produced special from 6:30 to 8 p.m. as well. So really all night long there will be Favre coverage. I know for our Milwaukee station, WTMJ, I'll be up there tomorrow night from doing the 6:30 to 8 p.m. special, and then the Packers Television Network takes over from 8 to 10 p.m. So there's a lot of fun stuff going on tomorrow. And, you know, you have to remember how many tickets they sold, too, you know, and in what a short amount of time. I think it was 8 hours, and they sold 67,000 seats for this event. It's incredible.
Yeah, it was fast, and I didn't get one. So thanks. we're going to check news again from NPR and Wisconsin Public Radio, and then we'll continue talking with Jesse Garcia with WTMJ Television in Milwaukee, author of My Life with the Green and Gold, Tales from 20 Years of Sports Casting, talking about Brett Favre. Well, Brett Favre says he can't wait for tomorrow's Green Bay Packers Hall of Fame ceremony. He will be inducted at long last in the Green Bay Packers Hall of Fame in a ceremony tomorrow. We are talking with a longtime Wisconsin sportscaster about Brett Favre's career and legacy, and we're welcoming your reactions and your questions. So do you think he belongs in the Green Bay Packers Hall of Fame? Are you pleased that he is being honored in this way at this time? Have you forgiven Brett Favre for the fiasco following his retirement and unretirement from football when he eventually played for the Minnesota Vikings? We are talking with Jesse Garcia, author of My Life with the Green and Gold, Tales from 20 Years of Sportscasting, and welcoming your questions and your reactions at 1-800-642-1234 or send an email to talk@wpr.org. You can also post on the Joy Cardine Show Facebook page or tweet us at Joy Cardine Show. Email from Linda: what an excellent idea. It is time to do this for this man who gave so much to football and who truly loved the game. We loved watching him play every single game. Thanks very much, Linda. Yeah. So, Jesse, we were talking just before the news break, but let's talk about this a little bit more. Those tickets to actually watch the Green Bay Packer Hall of Fame induction of Brett Favre are sold out. 67,000 tickets were sold in no time, but we can watch the ceremony on the Green Bay Packers or the NFL Network.
Actually, both. Okay. I believe the NFL Network is going to be carrying some of it as well. But every market should have a Packers television network station around Wisconsin that carries preseason games and things of that nature. And on that station, you will find the induction ceremony live from 8 to 10 p.m. Tomorrow night. So, and I saw in the paper today that they actually did have a few tickets free up for the interior of the bowl for the 67,000. But, you know, just as soon as it hits the paper, they're probably gone, would be my guess how quickly those things go. And tickets, by the way, are $4 and parking is $4, which I think you can probably figure out why that number.
Yeah. Cute.
Yeah, and proceeds actually do benefit Favre's charity, Favre for Hope, which offers financial assistance to breast cancer patients because his wife had gone through breast cancer treatments, and also benefits children's charities in both Mississippi and Wisconsin.
Oh, good. And he's playing a charity game in Madison on Sunday. Tell us about that.
Yeah, he's then playing a flag football game Sunday at Camp Randall with a bunch of other ex-Packers and ex-NFL players, which should be really fun to watch. Apparently there was a schedule conflict with Lambeau, so they moved it to Camp Randall in Madison, which is kind of nice, actually, because it gets to be in a whole different part of the state. Now, unfortunately, tickets for that are not $4. I think they're a little bit more. But, you know, still a great opportunity to go and check out Favre in person and you know, really see a fun flag football game. How often do you get to see something like that?
Yeah, exactly. And I checked, and it wasn't outrageous, and it is for charity. I think it was anywhere between 25 and, I don't know, $50, and maybe a little bit more than that, depending on the seat you pick. But so anyway, that's on Sunday at Camp Randall. I think that was a 4 p.m. game. So.
Yes.
So, Jesse, what stands out to you in all of your coverage of Brett Favre? What are some of the memorable moments you have involving Brett Favre from your career covering the Packers?
Sure. Well, it's funny. I wrote about a number of these in the book that you mentioned. And the things that stand out more for me are the moments that he was more human. I mean, certainly I remember the Oakland game that you talked about earlier and, you know, all sorts of other highlights, and some of the lowlights. You remember him, you know, throwing an interception in the NFC Championship games, you know, things of that nature. But the personal moments stand out for me. When people used to ask me what Brett Favre was really like, I would tell them this story about how Brett Favre and I once had a conversation about potty training. His daughter and my son were about the same age, and, you know, they were maybe two. And he knew that I had been pregnant and had a child. And I was passing him in the hall at Lambeau Field one day, and he said, "Hey, Jesse, how's the potty training going?" And I said, "It's going okay. How about for you?" And he said, "Terrible. We can't get her to figure it out." And it just made me laugh because he was just a father and just a human being, you know, in that moment. So those types of things stand out for me. Another quick one, he was sitting in a middle school gym watching his wife play basketball 2 days before a huge playoff game against San Francisco, and just wanting to sit and watch his wife play basketball, you know, those types of things. He really was a human being and a good one. I liked him a lot when he was there.
You know, I know that Aaron Rodgers has a reputation of being kind of a practical joker, and Favre was too, wasn't he? Didn't he have a lot of fun with his teammates?
Oh, sure. I think he was, you know, sort of the original practical joker, perhaps. And maybe quarterbacks, or some of them at least, have that personality. But, yeah, Favre used to be the one to set off the stink bombs in the locker room or put the plastic rat in somebody's cleats. Or, you know, he kept it lighthearted and he kept it fun. And I've heard so many teammates, especially in these last couple of weeks, talk about how they appreciated that aspect of his personality, as well as appreciating that he would go out and play, you know, no matter what, because it inspired them to go out and play and inspired them to keep it lighthearted and keep it fun. And I think that was part of the key to their success. Oftentimes when a team is a little looser and having fun, they have more success than when they're really tight.
Lots of callers to go yet. Dwayne in Weston. Hi, Dwayne.
Oh, good morning. Thanks for the great show. I'm a big fan of Brett Favre. I grew up in East Dubuque, Illinois, so in my family we had Bear, Viking, and Packer fans in the house, and went through Lynn Dickey and Mikowski and all the other ones, and Brett just, like I said, lit it up. And my wife didn't get into pro football until when Brett retired and Aaron Rodgers took over. She felt bad for Aaron Rodgers because everybody was a lot of people were down on him, and we want Brett back, so... Now she's a big football fan and loves the game, and she can't, you know, she looks forward to every Sunday. And but he deserves to be in the Hall of Fame, absolutely. And he provided us with so many great weeks of football. And being from Iowa and East Dubuque, Illinois, do you know why Iowa doesn't have a pro football team?
Uh-oh, is it clean?
Because then Minnesota would want one. That's just an old joke.
That's funny. Thank you, Dwayne. Any quick comment on that, Jesse? I find it interesting that he said his wife became a big fan of football, maybe because of Brett Favre / Aaron Rodgers.
I think a lot of people can say that. Mm-hmm. And, you know, an entire generation grew up on Brett Favre. We have to remember that. They never saw anybody else. I mean, he played in Green Bay for 16 years. So if you started watching football at the age of 5, let's say, you were 21 and he was still playing, you know, for the Packers. So it's pretty incredible.
Jeff in Paoli is with us. Hi, Jeff.
Good morning, Joey and Jesse. Thanks for the great show.
Yeah, thanks for calling. What are your memories?
Well, I just want to share my story. Mm-hmm. My dad was a huge Packer fan. He, you know, experienced the glory years firsthand. And he tried to get me, I grew up in the 70s and the 80s, and he tried to get me involved with the Packers. And, you know, I watched, and it was really disappointing. In the 70s and the 80s, the Packers were quite disappointing. It was, a lot of times, it was just hard to watch. And then in the 90s, for me, Brett Favre came along and resurrected the Packers. He made every single game exciting. It didn't matter if the Packers won or the Packers lost. It was just, I looked forward 1 week to the next just to watch him play. It was just, it was amazing. And the really amazing thing, I think, is he gave his heart and soul to every single game. My kids had the opportunity to watch him play, and then when Aaron came along, they just didn't understand that, well, what do you mean the quarterback can't play? Because Aaron, you know, had bouts with a couple of injuries where he was out for a while. But Brett gave his heart and soul to every game, and it was just amazing to watch him. And forget forgiveness. We should all be grateful that he played with the Packers, and we all had the opportunity to watch him over the years.
Yeah. Thank you very much, Jeff. I remember those 70s and 80s, too.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, I guess Jeff is saying, hey, what do we mean, forgive? We should be thanking him.
And I think there's going to be a lot of that tomorrow night, and I do think that he deserves that. He deserves to be thanked for everything he did. You know, there were some games. He had a horribly, badly sprained ankle one game. It happened in Minnesota. He should have sat out the next week. Instead, he went and threw 5 touchdowns against the Bears. And he will say now that he looks back and says, what was I thinking? That is one game I should have sat out. You know, so he really did give his all for the love of the game. There's no question.
Yeah. Next we go to Dan in La Crosse. Hi, Dan.
Hi. I'm a songwriter. I'm going to share, if I can, just the bridge part of Little Song, I borrowed the tune from You Got to Be a Football Hero to Be the Best in the NFL.
All right.
Desmond's going to run you back, and Favre will carve a pass attack with Donald Driver landing in the first row. I'm on Green's hit and spin. We'll get that blown-up pigskin in, or Longwell will convert it to a field goal. You take your cheese head off for all the Packers, or hear from Reggie White and the Sackers.
I was hoping you'd sing it, Dan, but that's okay.
Well, copyright.
Oh, yeah. Thank you very much for sharing that. Well, we love our Packers so much, and Brett Favre, we write songs about them, Jesse.
Oh, I have heard so many great Packers songs over the years, you know, especially in those 90s heydays. You know, people used to send in all kinds of just amazingly creative and fun Packers songs, Packers poems, you know, what have you.
Yeah, there's a video. It's not a brand new video, but somebody put a lot of Brett Favre's highlights of his career and such on a video with the song I'm Coming Home. As, you know, and it's a song about coming home, and they've forgiven me of my past mistakes. I'm coming home. So tell the world I'm coming home. So Brett Favre is coming home, Jesse.
Yeah, that is really nice. Yeah, you know, he hasn't been back at Lambeau in quite a number of years now, or really in Wisconsin. I think he snuck up to go hunting once and snuck around the state, and nobody saw him. But, you know, other than that, you know, he's kind of stayed away. And probably wisely so, because it allowed a lot of these feelings to heal up. And I think it's time. I think people are mostly ready.
Yeah. And we'll look for you for this. So you're going to be doing some broadcasting 6:30 to 8:30 tomorrow?
6:30 to 8 will be the locally produced, and then 8 to 10 is the Packers Television Network. So really, if you want to settle in on a Saturday evening and just watch Favre coverage, you can do it pretty much nonstop for 3.5 hours, you know, plus your local news on either side. So it should be a really fun and interesting and exciting night at Lambeau.
Thanks for being with us.
You're welcome. Thank you.
Jesse Garcia, I'm sports reporter anchor for WTMJ Television in Milwaukee, author of My Life with the Green and Gold, Tales from 20 Years of Sports Casting. Thanks to Judith Sears Poisson for producing and directing this program. I'm Joy Cardine. This is the Ideas Network.